I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad day, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny stole my hybrid fire OG when she was drinking a bottle of Pinot in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flats and flats of party. Rats on the west side, dead bugs of town, what a mess this town's town. My brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should be do shake it. LeBron to the 10, and the Lakers are up 12 with 3:10 and rolling in the half in the NBA Finals game one. And early in this one, the Heat were up 13 and the Lakers wiped that out. And it's just been everything you can imagine. AD hitting threes, Green hitting threes, Caruso hitting threes, LeBron getting to the 10. I mean, Pope hitting threes. I have seen it all. 59-47 right now under three. Heroes hit a few threes. Crowder got his three back and hit a couple. And it's the same old story, though. Every whistle, the Lakers have this gigantic, enormous Oscar-winning performance. Every call is a mistake. Every call is wrong. Argue every call. Cry on every call. When he drives and doesn't get a whistle, he cries, and then he pretends like he's injured. And, oh, my God, it's just like they don't even need all that BS. They really don't. They don't need all the drama and phony flopping and questioning every call. They were questioning earlier in the game a hold. They wanted a hold foul. And every time they blow a whistle, it's the same thing. They just all go ape shack over every whistle. But they don't even need it because they're kicking their ass. I mean, they're up 12 right now. They were down 13. They wiped it out like they were cleaning windows with Windex in the backyard. We got a great show for you tonight.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, coming up, Mark Hochman of QAM and The Ticket in Miami will join us as we're watching the Heat in the game one against the Lakers. And it's finally happening after waiting a few days. And early on, I got to tell you, I knew not to get excited when the Heat had a big lead because the Lakers aren't afraid of anybody. They get down against Denver. It didn't matter who they play. You get a lead against them, they come back. I mean, that's what they do. So LeBron's got 8, 5, and 7 dimes already. So just count on a triple-double. That's going to be inevitable. I was saying that on Coast to Coast, right? This guy, he'll get the MVP because you could give Davis 30-plus a night, but the guy that makes all of it happen, the guy that makes the engine roar is LeBron, the guy that makes all the buckets, all the plays, all the passes. Everything develops because of him. There's only one way of looking at it. He has a triple-double almost every game. And here's Jimmy Butler limping around injured. He looks banged up. I don't know what happened there. If he got a knee, I have no idea what just happened to him, but he's totally limping. And I got to see it. It looked like a knee to the, it's an ankle. He rolled his left ankle. He got a knee to the thigh. And then his next step was a drive on Davis. And he absolutely cranked his ankle. I mean, full on crank weight. Boom. It looks like he broke it. That's how bad it is. That's how bad that roll was. Did you see that, Moff? He's totally injured.
Yeah, you saw in the way he went down hard right away and just like threw the ball away. It wasn't even like he went down, kept control of the ball and like, you know, tried to find somebody. Like it hurt him so bad, he just threw the ball away right away because that was his first reaction. Just get rid of this, worry about myself.
Yeah, I think he's, that doesn't look good at all to me. It really doesn't. Let me check on this game.
Nice.
I have to check on this game. Like they have the Dodgers on with the Brewers as well. That's happening. There's a lot happening tonight. By the way, in that Yankee game earlier, right? So the game started late because of weather. And then they decided to start it at 10 to 8 East. And that it, they felt that the major storm was going to blow through or whatever. Instead, what happened was there was no bad weather at 7 at all. But at 10 to 8, at around 5 to 8, the storm hit. And, I mean, it was blowing sideways. It was just gushing and pouring outside. And the wind's 30 miles an hour. It's like a typhoon. And literally, you could see the rain was pelting players. Their shirts were waving in the wind. It was just crazy. They showed Tanaka out on the mound. He was whipping around like a flag. So, anyway, they stopped the game. They had a second delay, the delay before the original 7 o'clock start. The second delay was, you know, like 8:15, 8:20, whatever it was. And then they started up again. The Indians built a 4-0 lead. Then the Yankees got a run on the board on a Stanton bomb. It was 4-1. And then Gio Urshela in the fourth inning hit a grand slam bomb to left center deep into the seats to give the Yankees the 5-4 lead over the Indians. And like right now, I think they're in the top of the fifth, 5-4 Yankees, Hicks up, nobody on, nobody out. and that's the deal. I'm just so interested in everything that's going on. All the games have me intrigued, certainly the NBA game one. And then just seeing Butler roll his ankle, left foot, really badly. I have to say, is it just me? Is it just me that, you know, there's seven timeouts each side, like the timeouts and the TV timeouts. Is it just me or is it just like, because I don't remember, is it, because you have to explain it to me, like, because I don't remember watching the, like, conference finals, even the conference semis and just seeing all these. I mean, it's just taken forever. It's just like I've never seen so many stoppages and timeouts and TV timeouts. I mean, do they even play basketball? I mean, honestly, it is the most unbelievable. It's unbearable. So anyway, I just think it's just crazy. I just sit and watch and I'm just like, oh my God, they don't even play. They just have timeouts and TV commercials that last 5-10 minutes. It's unbelievable. They don't even play ball. I've never seen anything. They, when they come back from the TV timeouts, the players aren't even sweating anymore. They're completely dry. You know what that is? That's when you play in the hood, outdoors in the heat, you lose, you get thrown off the court, and then you stand there for 40 minutes waiting to play again and get back on the court. And by the time you do, you're dry again. And you just smell like dry body odor when you're just dry and you smell. I mean, the TV timeouts are unbearable, and then they come back, and these guys aren't even wet anymore because they've been in breaks so long. Mafia, who are you telling me went to the locker room with an injured finger?
Anthony Davis walked back to the locker room, looked like something's wrong with his finger. I don't think Jimmy Butler even left the game after that ankle. He's still there, but Anthony Davis was walking back with trainers.
Listen, I saw the ankle roll. It looked really bad. That thing's going to swell up like nobody's business at halftime.
Yeah, it was on his own foot, too. It wasn't even tripping on AD. He just slid. Like, his foot was turned, and he slid and tripped over.
Did they just have a timeout and then come back to the game and then have another timeout? Like, this is like a double TV timeout. They just took 5 minutes to break, and they came back and showed a couple highlights, and then they went to break again. I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, when are they going to finish this game? 3 a.m? I mean, it is just absolutely unbelievable. I'm not even making this stuff up. You can't deny it. It's just crazy how long it takes for them to, like, even get a shot. Like, they don't even play basketball. It's just television commercials. Like, I'm choking on them. And I got to tell you, when I watch the Red Zone channel, it's the only channel on earth I can even watch. I can't even watch television. It's so bad. I'm not even, and don't give me that, grandpa in the front yard business. Ah, you kids get out of my yard. I'm telling you, don't even tell me I'm tripping. You watch TV, you'll lose your mind because there's no show. It's just commercials and it never ends. Like, watch the news. Like, I like watching David Muir, whatever, the evening news every night, like when I'm having dinner or whatever. And the whole thing, he literally does 12 minutes of news and the rest of it's commercials. He comes back after one break. He's like, when we come back, we're going to tell you the story about a firefighter. He didn't even tell me a story when he went to break. He tells you, I'm going to break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to take another break. And then I'm going to come back and give you a story for 10 seconds. And then I'm going to go to another break. Oh, my God. It's just forever.
You're completely right. They came back and showed 30 seconds of highlights and then went back to commercials. Like, they knew, like, hey, we know this is taking way too long for us to play basketball, so we're going to tease you a little bit, give you a little taste of what we've been watching, and now go back to commercials.
Because they didn't even come back and play. They came back and showed two highlights and went right back to break. It was like it's like a 10-minute break. It's almost as though I'm sitting here watching, let's give Jimmy Butler 20 minutes to get his ankle taped, and we'll let Davis go to the locker room and have his finger pulled back into place. It's almost like something's going on that I'm missing. What am I missing here that they just don't play basketball? And still 5-4, and they got two on, second and third. They're going to get a run in here. Hicks will score to make it 6-4. So Stanton with the sack fly, 6-4 Yankees in the fifth, runner at third. One out. So now it's halftime. Finally, there was so much commercials. I couldn't even watch the end of the half, and the Lakers are up at the half, 65-48. So they were getting beat by 13, and then they turned around and basically kicked the Heat's teeth in I mean, the Heat looked so fantastic in that game early in the first, you thought they were going to run away with it. But I knew they wouldn't, because the Lakers don't let anybody run away from them. They'll come back and they'll creep up on you when you least expect. So now it's halftime. We'll talk to Mark Hochman about the Heat and about everything going on in Miami, the Marlins, the Dolphins, the Canes. We'll get all of that. Yankees up 6-4. Dodgers and Brewers are scoreless.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Perrell on the bench with you. 65-48 Lakers at the half in game one of the finals. Mark Hochman is a rock star on QAM and The Ticket, both stations in Miami, and his show's awesome. Hochman and Crowder, they're incredible. We see him in a lot of fights. Always love having Mark on the bench whenever we get a chance. How you doing, buddy? Everything good? I know this first half has been a little stressful after that big lead that they evaporated very quickly on the Heat, that 13 spot they had up. They looked fantastic early, but now they're getting their ass beat.
Yeah, it was a rough finish to the first half. We were feeling good there at the beginning of the game, but we had the Marlins victory over the Cubbies today, so I'm not going to be too down here.
You know, that was, for me, as you know, fantastic. I was watching every pitch of the Marlins game today, and it goes back to 2003 when I was on QAM, and they beat the Cubs and went to the World Series and beat the Yankees in six in the Bronx, and it was like one of the greatest years of my life to see that crappy team get hot in July and then the rest of the way and then make the playoffs, and then what they did in the playoffs, it really goes down in history. Can you even fathom that they went there today and Alcantara pitched great. His stuff was filthy. And then they got the big home run and, you know, a couple of them. I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was fantastic.
The whole story, and I don't know if people know Pharrell, but Pharrell has been a Marlins super fan. That 03 season, I mean, that was your wheelhouse. But I don't know, you know, how many people pay attention to the Marlins nationally. But it's as improbable a run to the playoffs. And I understand, you know, shortened season. But, I mean, think about where they were projected at the beginning of the year. And then they get the COVID outbreak with 18 players and personnel. And you think they might not even be able to finish a season. And then all of a sudden you fast forward. They're in the playoffs and they're beating the Cubs at Wrigley Field. I mean, it's almost as improbable as me watching the Heat in the NBA Finals tonight.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised that the Heat are there. I am surprised, A, that the Marlins got in after the way they started, the way they had COVID, the way they've played the last few years. They've just been basically the laughing stock of baseball. People were talking about Mattingly, this is it, he's finished. Now he just locked himself into that job, as far as I'm concerned, for the future. And Aguilar's home run was unbelievable. Dickerson's home run. Aguilar, I mean, he really launched that thing. Yeah. And I guess Dickerson's it went even further. But tell me about what you thought of that pitching performance. As I mentioned, Alcantara, I just thought his stuff was filthy. Again, I just couldn't believe some of the heat he was throwing.
Sandy Alcantara did his thing today. We had this weird dynamic. I guess you're used to it, because like you're doing a show now, you're watching the Heat. For us, it was real strange because you know, our show is on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time, and I'm not used to doing a show and watching a game. I should say not watching a game because sometimes there's day baseball, but watching a game that has real stakes to it. But
right.
From what I was watching, Alcantara had great stuff. They've got a decent little pitching staff there, the Marlins. You know, Pablo Lopez has had some great outings this season. Sixto Sanchez. I mean, people are excited about him. I don't have to tell you because I know you follow Miami, but there's some real excitement in Miami sports right now with the Marlins, our Hurricanes, of course, the Heat. Barring what happens tonight, there's still plenty of excitement. Like there's a lot going on. There's a lot on our plates.
Yeah, I mean, even across the state, across Alligator Alley and up the coast, yeah. You got the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, Tom Brady, the Rays are kicking ass. They eliminated the Jays today. I mean, Florida is just jumping right now.
Yeah, man. It was a hot spot for COVID for a while, and now it's a hot spot for sports.
So the Dodgers are now opening up a can on the Brewers already. I think it's 2-0. Already bases loaded, two outs in the first, and Council's already on the phone down to the bullpen. So everybody expects the Dodgers to roll. How about the Dodgers and Lakers playing at the same time? So let's talk about real quick about what you thought of Butler rolling his ankle. I mean, it looked really bad, and I guarantee you that thing's swelling up at halftime. You saw it. I mean, that was a massive roll with weight on it, too. Like, when you roll it over and put weight on it, it gets even worse. A lot of times when you roll it and you lift the weight off, you can salvage the injury and the swelling. But I can guarantee you that guy's got a swollen foot at halftime. But he was having a great half. He had 16.
I saw that Shams Charania reported that the ankle is sprained, but he is going to play in the second half. And he was hit a couple of three pointers. He doesn't shoot a lot of three pointers. So that was good. I mean, he was keeping them in the game. Tyler Hero a little bit, keeping them in the game. Jimmy Butler, I mean, if he's playing on a bad ankle, that's going to be a rough go in the second half for the Heat, just based on the way the first half ended. But yeah, I watched him roll the ankle, and listen, I'm a 50-year-old man, and I play basketball with my son every day after I get off the show. And about 2 months ago, I rolled my ankle, and it swelled up immediately. And I said to my wife, as we were just watching the game, I said, that thing is swelling. But if you remember, when I rolled it a couple months ago, I played through it. And she reminded me, no, I didn't. My face was covered in mold because I hit the ground like a rock, and she had to bring me a pillow from inside because I couldn't get up off the backyard lawn where I had landed after rolling my ankle. So I said to Crowder on the air, I go, man, there is a real lack of there's a real lack of mobility when you're 50 and you roll an ankle. You just drop like a rock, and if there's mulch around, you get covered in mulch.
So they just started the second half, and he's already got a bucket. He's got 19 now, so it's 68-51. I thought one of the good signs for the Heat was Crowder hitting three threes. Three out of four from downtown after he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn in the Eastern Conference Finals from downtown against the Celtics.
He had a real rough series against the Celtics, but, you know, in the bubble itself, and then, you know, the first series against Indiana, second series against Milwaukee, he was really good. Had a really bad series against Boston, but then you had guys like Andre Iguodala, you know, who had a real big game against Boston at the end there. Those two veteran pickups that the Heat had, and Solomon Hill as well, I guess three veteran pickups, but Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder have been terrific additions to this Heat team. But yeah, if Crowder can be knocking down some threes like that, it's a whole different ball club out there.
So Mark Hogman with us, when do you think the, I know the Dolphins looked a lot better in Jacksonville, but I'm a little fed up hearing about, frankly, Fitzmagic saying, oh, Tua can do 1,000 things I can't do. He throws the ball way better than me and everything. I want to see the kid play. Is that ever going to happen?
The notion was if they looked really bad and if the offense was anemic against Jacksonville, you might have seen him this coming Sunday against Seattle, but because Fitzpatrick had a good game, that takes some of the pressure off Brian Flores to make that decision just yet. I'm kind of with you. I mean, you see Joe Burrow, and he's playing well, these young quarterbacks. Like, I understand the logic of keeping a guy on the bench, letting him learn, but you also might be wasting a full season, right? I mean, he could have some game experience, and if they're not going anywhere, I hope they turn to him sooner rather than later. If he's healthy, that's the big question, right? I mean, they keep telling us he's 100% healthy, and he keeps saying he's 100% healthy, and if they're really not being honest and he's not healthy, then I understand it. But if he is healthy, yeah, I'd like to see them go to him sooner rather than later. I want to be watching Tua Tagovailoa for the next 15 years as my Dolphins quarterback. You know, I want to get this thing rolling.
So, Mark, you know I'm a huge Canes fan. That was very enjoyable. That was better than sex watching that first half against Florida State the other night. I mean, it was just great.
Bro, that was as much fun as that. That's the most fun I've had watching Canes game since that Notre Dame game, right, when they were number two in the nation. I mean, that was so much fun to do that on national TV against FSU. And, you know, all the offseason moves, you know, with De'Eriq King and Rhett Lashley, the offensive coordinator, and just to see everything clicking, it was so much fun. I watched that game with a grin from ear to ear. I don't know if that grin will withstand a week from Saturday when they play Clemson or not. I don't know if they're at that echelon yet, but I don't feel like – I went into the season looking at the schedule saying, you know what, the Hurricanes will get rolled by Clemson. And then I watched that FSU game and the Louisville game the week before, and I said, you know what, I don't think they get rolled by Clemson.
You know what, I think it would be fantastic if they gave them a really good game and that the game came down to the fourth quarter. I think it would be a real sign for, like, a legitimate sign that the Canes were back, because a lot of people are always saying the U's back, and they really haven't been. They've been an utter failure. They've been really pathetic, I think, last year. That Louisiana Tech game made me sick to my stomach. So far, they look really good at this juncture. We're going to find out what they're made of next week. Mark, it's great having you on. Enjoy the rest of the game one, even though it looks like the Lakers are in control, 73-54. Always good. Catching up. Say hi to crowd for me and everybody at QAM and the ticket. I appreciate you, man.
Will do, man. Love you, Pharrell.
All right, Mark Hochman down in Miami. The Lakers 74-54, up 20 now with 9 minutes left in the third. And LeBron and company are dealing and running, and Green in the corner misses it. But Davis gets the follow, misses the shot, gets it again, and puts it in. They're dominating the glass. Getting calls, everything. All right, so the Indians tied up the Yankees in the bottom of the fifth, and they still got a runner on third with two outs. It was a Ramirez double to right. Hernandez and Lindor scored. Lindor had doubled. Hernandez had walked, and then Ramirez hit the shot. So, and then Chad Green came in. And then now it's six all, bottom five, two outs, runner at third, Green pitching. So the Yankees get the lead on the Urshela grand slam. Then they add a sac fly run, and then they blow the lead. So it's 6-6. And this is anybody's game now. But there's a lot of baseball left. It's in the fifth inning, so anything could happen in this game for sure. Dodgers up 2-0 on the Brewers. They're in the top of the second. And then the Lakers have just absolutely opened up a can on the Heat in that game. And it's 76, make it 78-54 now. 78-54 Lakers. And Dragic got hurt. Mavia said it was a foot injury. He left the game. So he went back into the locker room. Butler's playing on a sprained left foot. That's another obvious one. Did you see all those people in the crowd? Obama, Wade, Worthy, Shaq, Robin Roberts. You got, I mean, just so many guys. Bill Walton up there, Dirk Nowitzki, Kareem. They got every like legend in the history of the game watching on the virtual stands at the finals game one. But this thing has gotten all kinds of ugly. I mean, Davis is dunking at will, and it's 80-54. I mean, this game's over. I mean, can you even believe how badly they turned it up on them, Mafia, and just absolutely lit them up like a bong? The Lakers are just doing it. That was a Dwight no-look to Davis for the dunk. You know, the deal is this. They cannot, and I've said this on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a Bench over and over and over and over and over again, is that they cannot stop Anthony Davis. No one can stop him. He's got 24 right now. He's going to have 30-plus easily. And LeBron's got 15, 7, and 7. He's 3-3 away from the triple-double, 3 rebounds, 3 dimes. And it's just, it's Davis. No one can stop him. No one can guard him. He gets everything. He has little elbow Jays, step-back Jays, baseline dunks. He hits threes. He's blocked shots in this game. Anthony Davis is just unstoppable, and he's getting rebounds. He's doing everything. He's getting putbacks. And I mean, and this is not about refs either. I'm not seeing any problems with the refs in this game. I told you earlier they were crying about every whistle. They'll cry about every whistle, even up 30, but the Lakers cry about every whistle. That's a given. That's an Oscar performance. Like, LeBron's the best. He works a ref better than any player that I've seen in 25 years. Frank Vogel doesn't even need to coach. He could just sit there and pick his nose because LeBron's the coach. LeBron's the one that talks to the refs. LeBron's the one Jimmy and the refs. But in this game right here, they don't even need the refs. That's how badly they're kicking the Heat's ass. I mean, they are, you know, I got to tell you, Mafia, this is not good for the NBA finals to have a game like this to start the finals, which is absolutely, you know, teeter totter weighted one way. Like the Heat came out at a 13-point lead on the teeter totter. And you know what's happened ever since? A fat kid sat on the other end and the heater up in the air and they can't get down. I mean, they are absolutely getting worked, and it's not good in my opinion for the finals. Cause everybody knows that when you watch the games, you're going to see the same thing every night. That the one team's better than the other.
Yeah, it's one thing if this was kind of close back and forth. Like, you needed that. You needed the Lakers to kind of take this game off a little bit. Maybe not all the way and lose like they did in the first two series, but, you know, maybe something to give you a little hope this is going to be a good series, or at least as good as they, you know, played Denver, where even though they beat them, you know, pretty handily, it was, there was a game or two that Denver won, and there was, you know, games where they were close. The last thing you need is for the, you know, the penalty, the complete ultimate culmination of this season that you have dragged out over these, you know, almost a year at this point, to be one team just rolling the other, and then the Lakers just rolling the Heat, because then it's worthless. No one cares. People tune out by game three.
They're never going to let up. They're never going to take the foot off the pedal. That's not even a question. They're
right,
not
going to difference between them and the other teams.
Well, they're not going to be like, you know what? We got to make sure the audience is happy with the finals. So let's let up on them a little bit and let them back in the game. That doesn't work in the NBA. So they're shooting 57% from the floor and 61% from downtown. And that's it. The Heat are shooting 39% and 38%. 39 floor, 38 downtown. They're 8 of 21 from downtown. Meanwhile, the Heat are watching the Lakers pour in 13 of 21 from downtown. And as I said, Davis, 24, LeBron, 15, Green, 11. He's hit three threes. Caldwell Pope's hit two threes. How about this? Morris has a three. Kuzma has a three. Rondo has a three. Caruso has a three. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Davis has hit two threes. LeBron's hit two threes. The only guy, and he never will shoot a three, is Dwight Howard that hasn't hit a three. Everyone on the team has hit one besides the center, who doesn't shoot threes ever. So, but I just saw Dwight Howard have a beautiful no-look pass to Davis for the dunk flush. And even he's, you know, getting involved. Six boards and a dime. And they've been starting him. They started him in the last few games of the Western Final, and now they started him tonight. And he's done a hell of a job. No one can deny that. He is every bit a part of this championship team. The Lakers, Dwight Howard, has done everything they could ever ask him to do. And then they're just kicking their ass. I mean, the game, it's 81-54. I can barely watch it at this point, especially when you got this great baseball game going on. It's 6-6, unless I'm mistaken. And they, you know, came back and tied it in the fifth. And they're going into the sixth now, tied at sixes. So, like I said, anybody's game there. That's the game of the night, the one in Cleveland. They had all this bad weather before. And now the Indians are out in the field, and they got to deal with that Yankee lineup that's so unbelievable. So now they have McKenzie in pitching. Look at this kid. He is a skinny. I mean, this kid is a rail. I mean, look at him. He's like 6'5". He weighs about 130 pounds. This kid is a toothpick. It makes me feel really old when I see a kid that skinny. I mean, this kid hasn't even begun to start eating yet, but he's probably got a live arm. I mean, he's got it all going. The kid weighs about 130, but man, he's big. Oh, and he throws at Gardner's head. 93-mile-an-hour heater up by the noggin. Gardner's over there saying his prayers to the Holy One. So in the series, he's 3-for-6 with a home run. Gardner went off last night in the first game, and everyone, including me, questioned why he was in the lineup instead of Frazier, but I guess that's why I don't manage the Yankees. I got to tell you, when you're down 4-0 and you come back and take a 5-4 lead and then go up 6-4, you can't blow this game. You just cannot blow this game. But they did. It's 6-all. So basically it's zeros now. And we'll see who can, you know, handle things in the money innings. The end of the game, 7-8-9. They're in the 6 now. I mean, this doesn't even matter. It's 7-8-9. What's going to happen with the bullpens? The Yankees and the Indians have both gone to their pens, and it's up to the bullpens now to get it done. And, you know, allegedly, the Yankees have one of the best bullpens in baseball. They got all the money players. Obviously, Chapman, and they have so many guys that can pitch. Green has been great for them for the last few years. So, I mean, Zach Britton, they have all kinds. Anavino, they have every arm you can imagine on this team in the bullpen. So we'll see if all that money comes through for them and if they can handle the rest of this game. If they can win this game, it's over. The wild card series with the Indians is over because they beat their ass in game one, whatever it was, 13-3, 13-2, whatever it was. It was crazy the way they rolled them in game one. Let's see what it was. 12-3 was the final last night. 6-6 now. Dodgers now up 3-0, and they have a runner on second and Seager up. I just want to see Betts doubled to deep center and Taylor scored. That made it 3-0. So Mookie Betts getting involved earlier. So they had they walked in a run. Pollock walked. Seager scored with the bases loaded. And then before that, Smith walked. And Betts scored with the bases loaded. So they had the bases loaded, walked in two runs. Now they get the Betts RBI. It's 3-0 Dodgers on the Brewers. Bottom second, one out, runner on second. So a lot happening there. So I'm giving you up to date on this action in baseball as we do it in-game lifestyle on Sports Grid Radio on a bench. We give you everything as it happens. It's beautiful. By the way, today,
speaking of in-game, Scott, would you like to get in on the Lakers now minus 26.5 in this game?
Is that what the in-game is?
That's what the current line is, 26.5.
I mean, the game is so
bad.
Some
22 points from before the game started.
The game is so bad. They're killing them so badly that, I mean, at some point, I don't even know. Do you think they'll, like, sit down their stars and let their bench? Now Adebayo's going to the locker room. He's got 8 points and 4 rebounds, and he's leaving the floor.
A couple minutes ago, he tried to drive against Howard and threw his body into him to get the contact for the foul near the rim and went down to the floor and grabbed his left shoulder when he was down there. He got back up, shot the free throws, hit 1 of 2, and was playing since then. But I guess now they pulled him out and gave him a little rest. He's going to go check it out in the locker room. But, yeah, that could be a big problem if his left shoulder is something that bothers him the rest of this series. I mean, he's bad enough right now in this game, let alone if he's hurt.
They're up 30 right now. They're up 30 in game one of the NBA Finals. You cannot tell me that this isn't bad for, it's a really bad look, in my opinion, for the NBA. You cannot have a finals, have one team up 30 with 5 minutes left in the third. I mean, what could be worse? This is not appealing. This is not fun to watch. I mean, you're just, this is humiliation at the highest order. They're killing them. 5 minutes left in the third. It's 87-59. Oh boy, they're down 28. You told me the end game was 26. That's going to keep moving. Do you think it'll get to 30?
It might as well be closer to the end of the game.
That it would be a 30-point spread in game? Can you imagine? And I got to tell you, they lose Dragic. They lose Adebayo. They're playing Butler with a sprained left foot for sure. He sprained his ankle for sure. And he's just playing on adrenaline. They've left him out there so he doesn't sit around on the bench and let it swell up. I mean, I got to tell you, did you ever think you'd see the day when you heard me say, I want to watch baseball over basketball? Bobby, oh, no. I know you'd never. I watch basketball every time over baseball, but I'm more into the baseball tonight than I am this because this sucks. And
like any of my Coke, it's almost a frozen over.
I bet on the Lakers to win and laid the 4.5. So I'm not really no mercy, sweep the leg. I'm a Heat fan. So I hope that, you know, I like the Knicks and the Heat and whatever. People know I like the Heat. I like all the Miami teams. I lived down there for a long time. So I like them all. Kings are my favorite. So anyway, this is ugly. It really is ugly. All right, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Moppy and I were just commiserating on our miserable baseball teams. I like, you know, the Pirates, and he likes the Mets. They're both just disastrous. Pirates' payroll is like $50 million. They're a joke. They're going to get that guy Rocker from Vanderbilt as the number one pick in the draft. They'll screw him up like they do every good player that plays there and leaves. The minute they get a chance to get out of Pittsburgh, they run. They dive off a bridge into the water, into the Monongahela. So all I know is Mavi was talking about his team. His team sucks too, the Mets. The Pirates are worse. And I think the Mets have a billionaire owner now, which is better than the Wilpons. And I do think they should fire Van Wagenen. And I think they should get rid of Rojas because he's in way over his head. That guy, I don't even know what that is. I no offense to him because I don't know him from Adam, but he should not be the manager of the New York Mets. I don't care what anybody says. They need to get Sandy Alderson in there, which would be the plan, obviously, that they're going to pursue. They're going to have him as the president. And then he immediately needs to fire them and bring in big names. That's it. That's it. There's no questions asked, Ma.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably what they'll do, you know, in that scenario. I mean, Cohen's got no qualms about spending money. He's flat out said that he's going to improve the team. He's going to do what he needs to do to be, you know, have a winner. He's not going to care as much about luxury tax and things like that. So he'll be more, not like, you know, completely like the Steinbrenners, but hopefully closer to the Yankees than the Mets are because they've been gun-shy and spending money on good free agents. And when they do spend money, it's guys that get hurt or it's the wrong picks. You know, they're just trying to go bargain basement. It doesn't work out for them. And he's not going to deal with that as much as he said so far. I mean, Rojas was never supposed to be there as a manager. It was supposed to be Beltran. The whole Astros thing broke, so they fired him, and then they had to get this guy last minute because no one else was left. So we'll see what they do in the offseason. They, you know, give him another chance with a full season. If they say, you know what, we're going to go another direction.
Yeah, no way. There is no way that they're going to leave him in there. The Yankees took the lead, by the way, in the top of the sixth. Sanchez, a two-run homer with Gardner on base.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.